Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta. Here's the podcast for Repurposed. Enjoy the conversation.
There was this gentleman from Lawrence, Kansas, a man by the name of Glenn White, who rolled up behind me. I'd never met him before, never seen him before. He put his arm around me and he said, "Where are you, brother?" And he wasn't asking me a geographical question. He was asking me a heart question. And I replied to him that I had no idea, that I had made a mess of my life, and I wanted a change. And that night I prayed a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into my life, to be my Lord, my Savior, my leader, my forgiver. From that moment on, everything radically, totally, and completely changed. I became a new creation.
Welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, intentionality, and of impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Taegis Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where we teach and inspire what we call true wealth. For more information, go to our website, taegisfinancial.com. Well, on this week's episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Tom Truszynski. Tom is the Center Director for Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge based in Rochester, Minnesota. It's a faith-based recovery center for people struggling with addiction. And Tom has quite a story himself. He began abusing alcohol at a very young age. He barely graduated high school. But even when his alcohol usage increased through college and his young adult years, he actually found his identity in getting good grades and finding success in the corporate world. And by the age of 28, he was one of the youngest VPs in the country of a very large financial firm. He was making big money. He was even featured in the Wall Street Journal. But at home, he was a raging alcoholic. He attempted suicide, and he had a failing marriage. And one night, he decided that he had had enough. He was going to leave his wife and his kids. He got on his motorcycle to head to the local bar, but he never made it. Tom got in a severe motorcycle accident, leaving him badly injured, including a severed foot. But this event set him on a repurposed journey of his own, where he found his real purpose and his real calling in life. Here's my chat with Tom Truszynski.
The night that my dad died was a pretty pivotal moment in my life, when my dad was holding my mom's hand and he looked at her and he said, "Ev, I've always loved you." I mean, what a powerful thing for a wife to hear, right? The last words. And something inside of her must have said, this 13-year-old boy needs to hear daddy say, "I love you." And she said, "And Tommy too." Those are the first words out of her mouth.
Huh.
And I would love to tell you that my dad said, "Oh yeah, and Tommy too." I'd love to tell you that my dad said, "I love you, Tommy." I'd love to even say that my dad looked at me.
Hmm.
What my dad did is he turned and he looked out the window, and about 10 minutes later, my dad died.
Wow.
And that started a process in me going, what's wrong with me? Why am I not enough? Why am I unlovable? And with that, I found acceptance. I found, I guess, affirmation with drinking buddies and going to parties and women and things of that nature. So at 13, I started using and abusing drugs and alcohol that led me down an 18-year path that almost led to my death. I ended up going to college, ended up graduating from St. Cloud State with honors of all things, even though I was getting arrested and had a growing drug addiction. Went to Mankato State. I got my master's degree in finance, and I actually graduated on a 4.0. And with that, I had many opportunities to go into the corporate world and into public finance. And I ended up going to work for a company that is now in downtown Minneapolis. It's called Northland Securities, a large municipal brokerage firm.
Yeah.
And I ended up starting out as an intern. Went from an intern to being hired, went from being one of the salesmen to being one of the top salesmen, to being the youngest vice president and partners named in our company's 60-year history at 28 years old.
Talk about that time when you were sitting in the building overlooking the Twin Cities, and you were featured in a Wall Street Journal, I believe, and
yeah.
And somebody yeah. said, what did they say to you at looking out the window?
Yeah. I had a group of students from the Carlson School of Management at the U of M come to interview me, and this one gentleman walked out of my office, and he looked at me, and he said, "I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you." And I probably patted him on the back and encouraged him somehow. But everything in me, Jared, wanted to grab him by the shoulders and say, dude, run, man. You don't want to be anything like me. Run, 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 run.
Yeah.
Because little did that group of students know that the weekend before I had been arrested, this time by the Apple Valley Police.
Wow.
And little did they know and little did I know that the next weekend I would sit at our cabin in western Wisconsin ready to end my life because I was so sick and tired of living this masquerade, this charade where my exterior said one thing, but on the inside I was totally different and I was dying. There was darkness and death all over me.
Wow. And you said you had a suicidal moment at your cabin in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That led to another point.
Yeah, well, thankfully I didn't have the courage or the foolishness. The Einstein that I was at that particular moment is I realized that or thought that my problem was my wife. Well, there's my problem, and if I get rid of that problem, then everything is great, which was a common MO for me because everybody else had a problem. I had no problems. You know, it was the teacher's problem, the judge's problem, the cop's problem, my parents' problem. Now it was my wife's problem. And if I run from that, then everything is going to be okay. Well, what I did is on May 18th, 1995, I got on my motorcycle at our house in Eagan. I drove down the driveway, drove past my wife who was standing there holding our six-month-old and our two-year-old daughter. And I basically said, I'm done. I'm out of here. And that night I was driving to a bar to announce that I was leaving my wife that night, right then, right there. But that night I never got into the bar because on the way to that location, a car cut in front of my motorcycle. I swerved to avoid it, lost control of my motorcycle, and I literally accelerated into the back of a truck. And on the impact, I busted up my hip pretty good. I nearly died, and I cut off my right foot.
Wow.
And that night, as I laid on the pavement, and I would roll over to my right side, and I would see my foot over there and me over here.
Oh my goodness!
I felt blood just pouring out of the midsection of my body, and I put my hand there, and I looked at my hand, and my hand just looked just like yours does right now, just clean. And I realized that all of the bleeding that I was experiencing was internal, and I was going in and out of consciousness this whole time. And there was something in me, Jared, that said, Tommy, if you die right here, right now, you are not going to heaven. It was really interesting. I had no preacher standing over me, nobody banging my head with a Bible, but I knew that I knew that I knew that I was not eternally secure. And so what I did is I did something that I never thought I would do. I said, God, help me. I cried out on that pavement. I said, God, help me. And I never wanted to do that because to me, God was just like my dad, far off, uninterested, distant, unavailable. But something in me said that God was the answer. And I cried out to him and he heard me. It was over quite a long period of time that I was in the hospital and recuperating that God took that cry and he developed it in me.
Interesting. So how long were you in the hospital before you could get back to kind of quote-unquote life as normal?
You know, I was in the hospital for close to a month in St. Paul. And then when I came home, I was home for about three months or longer. And then I was in a wheelchair for a period of time. What they did is they went to my left arm and they took out two veins, an artery, and a section of my muscle and my forearm. Then they went to my right thigh and took out a harvest site there, and they actually used that to reattach my foot.
Oh my goodness.
And so there was quite a bit of recuperation involved in that process. And I was in like God's Dutch oven at that point in his crock pot because, he continued to speak to me and as a gentleman continued to win my heart and draw me close to him.
Wow. So that, I mean, were you, was work even on your brain at this point? I mean, was that even part of your thought process, or was it just kind of survival and recuperation?
Well, what was really interesting is before my accident, work was my everything. It was my idol. It was my God. Money and status and power and blah, 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 blah was my idol. And when I was in my accident, my boss, who sadly recently died, but I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord and performing his funeral last January, he was like my dad. He was my best friend and my mentor. And he told me, "Tom, don't worry about a thing. I will run your book. I will take care of all of your accounts. And every penny is going to come to you. And when you're ready to come back to work and you're healthy, your accounts will be there for you, well taken care of." Wow. And so not only did Steve Mattson do that for me, but my whole team at my firm did that, and they took such good care of me. And once again, that was a sign to me of God's unconditional love, an unconditional love that I knew nothing about. But even now, 20-some years later, he continues this very morning, if you will, to show me unconditional love through others and through his love for me.
Wow, wow. You went to a Promise Keepers event at some point there in the near future. Talk about that.
Yeah, I had this neighbor who, bless his heart and bless his soul, he came over 3 or 4 times after I was home and invited me to this Christian event. And I knew God was working in my heart and in my soul, but I didn't want to go to this, especially with this neighbor.
Right.
And
you know what happens there.
Because it was weird.
Exactly.
So eventually I succumbed to the pressure and I went, and I was in the front row of the handicap section at the Metrodome right on the first baseline. And, you know, it was okay, Jared. They sang a few songs and then they had a speaker and a few more songs. But what was really weird is there were 60,000 men in this place, no women. And I, you know, guys are good, but I wanted some pretty faces, right?
Sure.
There was no women there. This was crazy. One side would sing, "We love Jesus. Yes, we do. We love Jesus. How about you?" And the other side replied back. It was so weird. I go, "Guys, it's Friday night. Get out of here. Go get a life. Have some fun." And,
even there in a wheelchair, your heart was still pretty hard.
Oh, yeah. I was fighting. And then this guy from the Billy Graham Association gets up to speak, and he's talking about sin. And he's talking to 60,000 men, Jared, but it was like he was talking right to me. It was not being received well by me. I remember a point where I turned my wheelchair around and I said, "I'm out of here. This sucks. I'm out of here. This is between me and God. It has nothing to do with you."
Wow.
And I'm on the floor of the Metrodome. I ain't going nowhere.
Yeah. Are you walk
said,
out of there?
Right. But you're not getting me. You got me tonight, but you're not going to get me tomorrow. And that's when I took off my glasses. And I started rubbing my eyes going, "What did I get myself into?" And I started to cry. And I didn't know why I was crying, but it wasn't actually probably a pretty cry. There was something going on. And there was this gentleman from Lawrence, Kansas, a man by the name of Glenn White, who rolled up behind me. I'd never met him before, never seen him before. He put his arm around me and he said, "Where are you, brother?" And he wasn't asking me a geographical question. He was asking me a heart question. And I replied to him that I had no idea, that I had made a mess of my life, and I wanted a change. And that night I prayed a prayer to invite Jesus Christ into my life, to be my Lord, my Savior, my leader, and my forgiver. And from that moment on, everything radically, totally, and completely changed. I became a new creation.
Wow.
All of a sudden, the things that were so important to me became less important. Going out with my drinking buddies, money, status, power. I started to come to realize that no amount of a false God will ever satisfy me.
No.
And I started seeing my wife as the incredible blessing that she is. She is my best friend. She is my partner. And I started cherishing my kids. And my wife was not a believer at the time. In fact, it took her about another year and some to come to faith in Christ, but I started wanting to be that husband, that father that I never had and that I never had modeled for me. And I started trying to walk with increasing character of godliness and integrity And it felt good. It felt right. It felt like this is what I was designed and made for,
wow.
to be a man of integrity.
Yeah.
And when I did go back to work, what was so funny is, Jared, I worked a lot less than I ever had before, but I was increasingly more successful, even after my accident, by working less.
Really?
Because I put him first.
Talk about the time and when did this transition start? Because ultimately you ended up walking away clearly and,
yeah.
you know, fell into the role eventually to where you are now with Teen Challenge. But talk about that process. Now let's transition into that time where you started to really
yeah.
look at life differently and eventually walked away from this job.
You know, ever since that night on the pavement, God was wooing my heart and to something that I had been totally called into. I started going to this church in Bloomington, a wonderful church. At the time, it was called Bloomington Assembly of God. It is now called Cedar Valley Church. And the senior pastor, Jerry Strandquist, and a pastor that came over to my house Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday, before I even went to their church, and discipled me, a guy by the name of Ron Roberts, invited me to their church because I was able to get mobile. God continued to call me. And they saw an evangelism gift that was in my heart and in my life. And they started talking to me about this. And whenever I would bring it to my wife, she would say, no, 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 no. But I started seeing after about a year that there was an opening and a softening. And one day I was at a church in Luck, Wisconsin, and the pastor was sharing a message. I don't even know what he was preaching about, but he quoted a Bible verse, a verse that said, the harvest is great, the workers are few. And God confirmed by a huge Holy Spirit impression that I was to leave my job, to retire, if you will, and go full-time into the ministry. And that was 17 and a half years ago. And I became the outreach pastor at Cedar Valley Church, and I did that for 15 years. And it was just an incredible experience.
Wow.
And I left that 2.5 years ago to come down to Rochester to follow another calling.
Talk about that continuum where it's like, oh, I kind of feel like yeah. we're going this direction. And then it's like, bam, that was the moment. Talk about that period and what was going on inside your heart and in your mind at that time.
Yeah, I went back to work and I was doing financial work, but my main focus was letting my clients, my coworkers, my friends know about this guy named Jesus that totally changed my life.
Yeah, they're like, who's this Tom guy that showed up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a totally different man, Jared.
Yeah.
I was just a totally different guy. I wanted something totally different. My priorities, my emphasis had changed. And so everybody saw it, and God was moving in such amazing ways. Clients were coming to Christ. Co-workers, people that I would meet and that God would put in my path. It was just amazing yeah. what was happening.
What did they think? And what did your boss think? I mean, he had to have known. I mean, what were they saying?
You'd think that in a way they go, what a weirdo, but they didn't because it was like a lame man. You know, like in the Bible where they said this man, they've known since his birth. And he was unable to walk since birth. Now he walks. It was undeniable.
Right.
People saw that in me. They knew where my priorities were. They knew where my heart was. I was always fun Tommy and a good guy. But now my priorities had changed. I went from one life to a whole different. And they said, I want what you got. And the very first day, Jared, that I went into Cedar Valley Church, I got this office. And it had a desk that was probably, it was used. It was a desk that was probably 60 years old from
right.
business. And my office overlooked the back dumpsters, okay? I walked away from a job on the 11th floor of the World Trade Center in downtown St. Paul, floor-to-ceiling windows overlooking the river and the St. Paul Cathedral
right.
and the state capitol
yeah.
to this one that's overlooking the garbage dumpsters. And I started to cry, and I said, what in the world did I do? But then what I did is I said, no, I know that God is sovereign, and I trusted my calling, and I said, there's no turning back.
Oh.
And I haven't turned back one lick since.
Are
there times that there's fears and doubts? Sure. But you trust your calling, and God continues to reveal it.
How did you know that was your calling? Because that's... I talk about that. I'm like, identify your calling. I'll challenge people to do that. And then people ask me, well, how do you know what your calling is? And I don't know. So I'm going to ask you, how do you know? What's your answer to that question? How did you identify that? Because it sounds like up until this point, you're really just calling less. And, now it was like you had this direct, thing to shoot for.
Yeah.
Was that something that was revealed to you? Is that something that was revealed to you over time? Talk about that. How did you know what that was?
Well, ever since I've been a little boy, I've had lemonade stands. I would have little garage sales, and I've always been a salesman, if you will. And so going into the finance world was not a stretch. Nobody was surprised. But what I found is after my accident, my gifts, if you will, my talents were the same, but I wanted to use them differently. I wanted to be, and I hope this doesn't sound sacrilegious or inappropriate, but I wanted to be a salesman for Jesus. Hmm. I wanted people to meet this guy who radically changed my life and saved my soul. And never once, Jared, did I sell a stock or a bond that I did not think was appropriate for the client. Never once. I was a man of integrity in that. And in the same way, I believe that Jesus is the answer for everyone in our world. He is the light that shines in our dark world and that will change and save us. And now all I wanted to do was tell people about Christ. And so I go, that's my calling. Hmm. That is my gift. And I wanted to pursue that. So that's how I knew.
Hmm. Interesting. So it's almost something that
was... Does that make sense?
Absolutely. But it feels like it was something that was, you know, not to put words in your mouth here, but like he was preparing you for this role for decades throughout your entire life. Like that's, you know what I mean? Well, like it wasn't just the accident. It was the time even leading up. Like this is your personality. You kind of have a salesman personality and what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of orchestrate these events and then this is going to be your calling, but you won't see it exactly until it's kind of revealed to you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
And if I could just take one giant leap forward, Jared, I feel that even more so today in my job at Teen Challenge. Hmm. I look at my parents' abuse. I look at my abuse. I look at my business background, my pastoring background. I believe that the sum total of my life has prepared me exactly to minister to the men and their hurts, because so many of us have hurts that go back to our childhood.
Yeah.
And in great ways can I relate to them and also use the business acumen that I had to do the corporate side of or the finance side of this position. So it's amazing how the Lord leads and guides and directs.
Wow. So you leave. If we had more time, I would love to dive into what the look on your boss's face when you decided that you were going to leave your corporate job and go be a full time pastor. I wonder what that was like.
Yeah.
I mean that had to have been quite an experience for both of you.
Yeah. One of them looked in total shock and said, "No, you can't leave," and yet in the other one. My mentor, Steve Matson, he knew that I was pursuing the right call.
Exactly.
And he said, "Tom, we don't want you to leave, but this is right."
You know, and that is key. And I think listeners need to hear that, you know, if they are, because, you know, I talk about, leaving careers and changing jobs and switching it up in life. But really what this podcast is about, it's about chasing a calling. And if what you're doing through your corporate job or career or whatever that is not fitting that purpose or calling, you need to intentionally pursue that. It sounds like that 3-year period was kind of God working on you to tell you kind of, this is what I'm leading you into. And when you do that, people can't say a whole lot. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that, like your boss just said, you know, we don't want to lose you, but we see the bigger picture here. That was probably almost confirmation to you as well. Like I'm making the right decision, even though I heard you say it. It's funny because everybody says this. You have the, oh my gosh, what did I do? moment.
I sure did.
You can't avoid those.
I sure did because we had our fourth child in August of 1999, and I started as pastor September 1st, 1999.
Wow.
And I went from making X to making about 10 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
of what I used to.
Yeah.
So talk about trust. Talk about faith.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Tom Truszynski, a guy that went from being the VP of a large company on top of the world, so to speak, to a horrific accident which completely changed the course of his life. God intervened and led him to Tom finding his true purpose in life, another repurposed testimony. If you want to find more information on Minnesota Adult and Teen Challenge, go to their website, mntc.org. That'll do it for this week's episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters totally free, just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, click on Heard Us on the Radio. It's in the upper right-hand corner for your free gift just for listening here today. And a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com, and if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.